Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Day HS podcast. My name is Michael Florek. I'll be here with you every week with my partner, Matt Wixon. Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Mike?
We also have a special guest today. It's Dylan Ty. Dylan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Now, Dylan still is for like another few days, our summer intern. And Dylan went to Allen. So let's just open it up with Allen. Dylan, how do you kind of see this team comparing to previous years for you, for Allen there?
Well, I mean, you have returning offensive weapons. You have Mitchell Jahnke still. You still have Kirby Bennett. You have Will Sherman on the offensive line. You are losing a lot of defensive players. You're losing, Levi Onwuzurike, and you're leaving Dallas George and a few of those others that were just really good all district players. You're also losing Coach Westerberg. After that loss to Westlake, he kind of decided to move on, went down to Mont Belvieu, and just kind of decided to pursue other things. But you have Coach Gamble coming in, who was with Allen when they won state back in 2008 for the very first time. I don't think he's going to change a lot of things. I think he's just going to kind of continue with the Allen tradition of just going out and playing every single football game as the, very first one, really kind of utilizing the weapons that he has. There's no Kyler Murray. There's no win streak hype. So I think you're going to see maybe a slightly different Allen, maybe a slightly less confident, but I still think they're going to be very strong.
As someone who is in the community kind of at the time, what was the reaction when Westerberg went to Barbers Hill?
Shock, 100% shock. Nobody could have ever expected it. There was a lot of, rumors going around kind of like why he left at that exact time, kind of, is he doing this on purpose? Like, is he doing this just because we lost? Just kind of a lot of, maybe even a little bit of bitterness, I think.
How long did that kind of take to get over?
I think it was pretty quick. I think once everybody kind of realized, this wasn't just out of spite. This wasn't just out of just the reason that we lost. I think that everybody kind of realized what he had done for the community, what he had done to the Allen football program, and just really kind of respected that,
So, Matt, let's just kind of open it up here. Just overall, what's your kind of look at the area this year? How do they compare to last year? You're kind of our resident old guy, for lack of a better term. So
thank you. In such a flattering term for me. But if we're talking about overview of the area, I think Allen is still very much a part of the conversation. Did they sink to what, number three in our preseason rankings? So, wow. But I think, on paper, I really think DeSoto and Cedar Hill are the two 6A squads, if we're talking about 6A first here, are the two squads that stand out. And part of that is just because they have so much returning talent. They have so much talent in general coming up. And one of the really interesting things, I think, coming into this year is the fact with realignment, DeSoto and Cedar Hill have always been Division I for DeSoto, Division II for Cedar Hill. And not only do those two teams play this year in the first week of district, which seems ridiculous. Hey, we're probably going to decide the district in the first week. There are other good teams in that district, by the way, South Grand Prairie among them. But they could also play in the playoffs. It looks like Cedar Hill and DeSoto, if the teams fall the way we kind of expect them, that they'll both be in the Division II bracket. That'll be interesting. I think the other big storyline kind of going into the season is the drop to 5A for Denton Ryan and Highland Park, which were both very good 6A teams last year, especially Denton Ryan, which only lost to the aforementioned Allen in, they went 13-1, Denton Ryan did. So I think the Dallas area looks really strong for some state contenders. And that's good news considering there were no wins last year. And I'm going to do a story about that, but it's been quite a few years since Dallas area has been completely shut out.
Yeah, 5A is really interesting to me because you mentioned you got the drop downs. You also have some deep teams just in Lone Star coming back, 12 starters returning for them. Lancaster is one of the fastest teams in the area. Lancaster coach Chris Gilbert said this team might be the fastest one he's had. So you have that. I guess how difficult will it be for those teams that have stuck in 5A to compete with those teams dropping down from 6A, just in terms of depth and that kind of stuff?
Well, there's definitely an advantage when you're coming down, when you have those numbers, and you're at the top of, in the case of Denton Ryan and Highland Park, at the top of that 5A size-wise. They have a lot of depth. Although for Denton Ryan, they were going to be a great team in 6A this year too, if they were in 6A. And I believe Highland Park was going to be a really good 6A team too. Highland Park usually relies on a ton of seniors, but last year they used a lot of juniors. Those kids are obviously seniors this year. I think they're going to be really good. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out on the field. But you mentioned Lancaster. Lancaster is going to be a Division II team, almost certainly, mm-hmm. which is going to be interesting. The first week of the season, we see Denton Ryan and Lancaster. What a great, great opening week game. And the other thing with Lone Star, you know, I think they went all the way to the state final last year, and having Jason Shelley, their quarterback, back, and you mentioned 12 starters. I mean, you got to think that they're ready to make a deep run again, but they did have some things kind of go their way, as pretty much any team does when you make a deep run. So it'll be interesting. I mean, people are going to be gunning for them.
And the one team we kind of haven't mentioned in 5A is Lake Ridge there. They lose a lot, lose Jet Duffy. How much can you think they can rebound here, just having to reload? They lost 47 seniors.
That's a painful number for a team to lose that many guys. And Jet Duffy was so good. I think back to the state championship game when they didn't have Jet Duffy. He did play, but he was obviously so limited by his injury. And so was their running back, who, darn it, the name escapes me right now. But both those guys are gone, and it makes me think to this year, Lake Ridge is going to have some guys step up, but man, those are just some phenomenal players you have to replace. And those are not like the kind of guys you get every couple years.
Yeah.
To me, those are like once a decade kind of players. And that's why Lake Ridge, I believe they were in their fourth varsity season, made it all the way to the state championship. If you have those kind of guys and great, complementary players around them as well, you can do that. But I think it's going to be tough for Lake Ridge. It's tough any year to get back to the state final, mm-hmm. but they're still a solid team. But last year was a pretty magical run for them.
And just a tough district there at 10-5A. You got Lancaster, you got Washlahatchie, you got all the Mansfield schools, besides Mansfield, which is 6A, obviously. Going back to kind of 6A, you mentioned Cedar Hill, you mentioned DeSoto. Cedar Hill has the game against Bishop Gorman coming up. We're going to talk to Bishop Gorman head coach Kenny Sanchez in a bit here. How much can we really learn from a game against this out-of-state team, against Bishop Gorman, who's obviously a national contender, but we don't really see them on a daily basis, so it's kind of tough, I guess, for me just to get a comparison there. But how do you see it just from your standpoint?
Well, I think we're going to learn a lot from the game, but I don't think we'll necessarily learn a lot from the result. I think Cedar Hill could go out there and get beaten by 3 touchdowns, and you could still say that's a state championship contender, or Cedar Hill could win by a couple of touchdowns. And then I guess obviously it's easier to say they're really good, but it is very difficult. We were talking about a private school that has kind of attracted attention because they can recruit kids around Nevada and get those players, and they have obliterated some teams. I mean, they've killed Nevada competition; hasn't mm-hmm. even been close. And they've been playing a national schedule and have been doing really well. So it's kind of like been years past where Cedar Hill has not necessarily out of state schools, but they've scheduled some just monstrous non-district teams, gone into district with like an 0-3 or a 1-2 record, and then they make a run to the state final. So I wouldn't, I would guess don't sound any alarm bells if Cedar Hill loses this week. Same thing goes for some other teams because we have some really big matchups this week.
Yeah, and I think just in doing our preview stuff, a lot of coaches I've talked with have just talked about getting that non-district games against that tough competition just to get ready for the playoffs. One mentioned he didn't really care about winning or losing as much as just getting ready for the playoffs. So there's a lot to kind of look at in these first couple of games, but a lot's obviously going to change by the time we hit the playoffs time. Still, it's going to be fun to watch here. We'll talk about that a little more in segment number 3. Right now, let's talk with Bishop Gorman coach Kenny Sanchez. You guys have played kind of a national schedule for the last few years here. Just how do you go about setting up a schedule like that where you're playing teams from Florida, you're playing teams from California, you're playing teams from Texas now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started a long time ago. My brother was head coach. I mean, the reason why we really started playing these out-of-state teams was really because we were trying to play really, really good teams in the football program so that we'd be battle-tested come playoffs and for state championship games, you know. We always say if you run with a faster guy, you're going to get faster. So we started doing that a long time ago, and we kind of just kept doing it. And, you know, now with, well, you know, how big high school football is and games being on, you know, being nationally televised, you know, they help out with scheduling games because they want to put two really good opponents together. And so we usually get a couple good games from ESPN out of that. And then, you know, other than that, you just kind of, you know, make some phone calls and try to figure out. And we just want to figure out who are going to be the best teams in the country and then go out there and, you know, see how good we are.
Well, Coach, how long had you been looking at Cedar Hill, or how quickly did this all come together? The game, I've kind of filling people in, I think everybody knows, but they're playing Saturday. Bishop Gorman in Cedar Hill at Longhorn Stadium in Cedar Hill. How long did it take to put this together?
It didn't take long because during the season we talked to Paul Harvey, who was with Paragon, who represents ESPN and put the games on there. So we have been talking about getting a game, and I wanted a game in Texas. We wanted to play a Texas team, and Cedar Hill, they obviously have been really good for a while, and so, you know, I just told him, you give me a game in Texas, Cedar Hill, Allen, just threw out a couple of names, and, you know, we got Cedar Hill, and we were happy with it because, you know, Coach McGuire does a great job, and they're a good football program, and so that's kind of how it came about. Pretty fast, though.
You last played in Texas in 2006, which was before this kind of seven-year run here for you guys, seven straight Nevada State Championships. How much had you tried to play in Texas before this season?
Yeah, and I wasn't here in 2006. Mm-hmm. We got here in 2009, but we had tried before. It's hard, though, because, you know, it's tough playing Texas teams because you got to go into Texas. So we couldn't get a game outside of there. And then, you know, we just schedule in other games. And just depends. You always have conflicts in your schedule because you'll start making your schedule of teams that you're playing, and people will say yes or no. And then once you get a hold of some people, they can play in week two, but you might have week two already filled, but they can't play week three where you need to get it filled. So, yeah, I mean, this is my first time. This is only my second year as a head coach, so this is the first time reaching out to Texas for me. I'm not sure. I think my brother tried it when he was a head coach, but I don't know the details of you know, why they didn't work out or not.
Well, the last 2 years, USA Today has named you guys their mythical national champions. It's not like you guys need to prove anything or anything like that. But how important or how different does it feel that, you know, there's this whole mythological idea about Texas football, Texas high school football? Does that make it even, you know, more special that you guys you're playing a Texas team? You've played great teams year in and year out, but does it maybe feel a little different that you're going into Texas with such a reputation for the whole state in general?
Right. Well, the first answer to the first question is we do need to prove ourselves because 2016 team hasn't done anything at all. All we've done is, you know, create memories, and they're great memories. And, you know, those things will live on for a long time, but it's time for us to each year to reinvent the wheel and prove ourselves and see how good we can be, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, everyone knows that, you know, I don't know if everyone knows. I mean, it's good football across the country, but California, Florida, Texas, and some good high school football in there. And not just because of the players, but because the coaching is so good. I mean, I would think, you know, Texas would be the mecca of high school football because, you know, not only is the coaching good and the players are really good, but the fan base is so extraordinary. And they, you know, they care about high school football so much. And the stadiums are packed out all the time. So it creates a bigger buzz and a bigger emphasis around, you know, the high school football in Texas. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, it makes it even a bigger game because of that.
And kind of going along with that, I don't know if you guys realize, but here in Texas, this is kind of a referendum on Texas high school football. Everyone's kind of pointing to this game as Texas kind of proving how good they are. How much are you aware that it's more state pride from Texas against you guys, and how much, I guess, pressure do you feel kind of representing the rest of the country almost?
Yeah, you know, we're not going to take that on our backs. We don't represent the entire country. We really just represent Bishop Gorman and Nevada football. I mean, I still think it's, you know, I grew up in Northern California and played high school football there and, you know, played college in Kansas. And I, you know, for my brother got the job in 2009 and I came out here with him, I didn't know much about Nevada high school football. And I was still tickled to death that a team from Las Vegas, Nevada, you know, has been able to represent Nevada proudly so far. And, you know, so, yeah, we're not – the good thing is we don't have to take on all of the state of Texas. We'll probably lose that one. So we're just going to try to, you know, beat Cedar Hill.
Well, what do you see? And we're not trying to pull any state secrets out here from you, but when you're watching Cedar Hill and prepping for them, what are the things that stand out about the Longhorns?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing is their quarterback. He's a special player. In this day and age, when you got a dual-threat guy who can pass and run, it just makes it difficult on the defense, because even when you're playing really good defense and you get him in third and long, you know, he gets out there and gets the first down, you know, using his legs, and it can frustrate you if you know. So you got to account for all 11 guys on the field, and he has an extra runner. So, you know, and then he's got weapons to throw to, and then, you know, got a good, you know, they run the ball really well, and they play solid defense. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a tough game. They're hard to get ready for. They run a lot of multiple sets offensively, and, you know, and they run really well on defense. I'm a defensive coach, so first thing I watch is, you know, people running the football, and they do that well.
How tough is it just to travel across state lines to play a game? You guys are pretty experienced in that. Just how tough is that to do?
No, I'll be honest. That's one of the funnest things for us to do. I mean, we've traveled so much, and, you know, even the summer we flew down to Boise to go to camp out there, and, you know, we flew back. So every year we're flying a couple times. But I love going to away games, flying, being with your boys, your coaches, staying in the hotels, you know. I think in some ways because you can really control their environment when you have them. You know, when we're home, you know, once they leave here, you know, they're going home, and, you know, you want them to go to bed at a certain time. But we can control their curfew. We control what they eat. You know, we can, you know, control a little bit more film time and preparation. So I love it. I think it's an easy thing to do.
And you guys are on, if I counted correctly, a 39-game win streak, 7 straight Nevada State Championships. We had a story this week about a Texas team who just lost their win streak, and they had talked a little bit about how there was just so much pressure. It was almost like a relief. How much pressure do you feel to be to have that win streak and to have that state championship going right now?
None, because there is no win streak in 2016. We haven't won a game, so I don't feel any pressure. Like, people are telling about this 39-game thing the whole time. I'm like, we're 0-0 in 2016, so I really don't care what we've done in the past. I mean, I think those are great, and we put those in boxes, and we'll put them in a shelf, and we'll open them up someday and look at how good we did. But right now, there's no time for that, and we have no win streak right now.
Is that difficult to get across to your kids?
Nope, because they've got to listen. They got to follow. They got to follow what we do, and for the most part, they do. And they got to focus on reinventing themselves and becoming a 2016 team. So, you know, I think if everyone's got the same mindset, and, you know, playing a first game in Texas against Cedar Hill is a big enough task at hand to where there's not much else to really think about or worry about besides the opponent.
All right, Kenny Sanchez, the Bishop Gorman head coach. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Saturday, Kenny. Appreciate it.
All right, right on, guys. Take it easy.
All right, thanks to Kenny again for coming on with us. One of the many great games coming up this week. We got another sort of out-of-state game, Allen versus Hoover. A lot of interest there. Hoover's very excited about it. They're talking about it on Twitter. Dylan, just what do you kind of see in this game here?
You know, Hoover's number 5 in Alabama. I don't know what the equivalent of that is to, you know, a Texas state ranking. I know that Hoover's pretty solid. I don't know a whole lot about them. I know that we always get very, very excited, just kind of speaking as a past student, about playing an out-of-state team, because it's somebody that we don't necessarily see every single week. We don't necessarily see in the playoffs ever. So it's, even though it's not necessarily like a DeSoto sort of rivalry, we're still seeing kind of, you know, a really, really strong competition. You know, we played Vieira last season, and then Dutch Fork, I think, the year before. And, you know, I've heard kind of things from Coach Gamble and from other people that he necessarily doesn't like like seeing these out-of-state competitions. So this might be one of the last few that you see out of a gamble era. So something to watch for.
Yeah. Do you have any insight on kind of what he doesn't like about it?
I talked to him, I don't know, it was several months ago, but he kind of said, I think we can find the competition here. I think we can find the competition playing a Katy or playing a Cedar Hill or somebody like that here in Texas. So I think, I know he didn't schedule Hoover Evangel, which is the following week. So I think that he would like to try to play, you know, some of these in-state teams more than he would like to go out of state to find the competition.
Speaking for generally for coaches, it's the distractions thing. Mm-hmm. You know, any way they can eliminate distractions. But at the same time, there's that chance to give yourself kind of a national reputation. You know, I guess you can debate how much that matters. You know, it's not like you can recruit kids in. Mm-hmm. So it's distractions. That's what I've heard from coaches.
Yeah, so we should just kind of run down here. It's like a Dallas versus the world challenge here, especially week one. We got four Dallas area teams playing out of state teams. We got South Lake Carroll versus Tulsa Union, Oklahoma. Eula Trinity versus Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Allen versus Hoover. And Cedar Hill versus Bishop Gorman. And then next week, as Dylan mentioned, Allen goes out of state again, plays Shreveport Evangel from Louisiana. Evangel?
Evangel Christian.
Evangel Christian.
That's it.
There you go. Appreciate it. and then DFW-ish is Aledo. I guess they're DFW. They're not.
Yeah, they're definitely DFW.
Yeah, they're not in our area, though. They play Westlake Village, California. So that's six games there. Just overall, how many do you expect kind of the Dallas area to win those six games?
Well, I've got to think back. I don't know a couple of them. I don't know that California team, obviously, that Aledo's playing. But it'd be hard for me to pick against Aledo. Haven't seen Aledo quite a bit. The one that stands out, I think Cedar Hill's going to have a tough time with Bishop Gorman, although I'm probably picking Cedar Hill because I like what they can do, and I like them at home in a close game. The one that I think will be really exciting, too, is the South Lake Carroll game, because they have played that team, I think, the last 3 years, maybe it's the last two, but they've gone to OT. They won on a two-point conversion. They've been close. They had to rally from 16 points down, I believe, last year in the second half. That's a really good matchup. It's a really good non-district matchup for them.
Now, Matt, do you see any, differences in these out-of-state teams that maybe Texas high school football either has or doesn't have?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've noticed, and it's probably unfair to say because I haven't seen like a large enough sample size, but as good as a team can be, they don't have the depth of a Texas teams. We have, you know, you can kind of like death by numbers. You know, that's what happened a little bit last year when Eula Trinity played the number one team in, you know, the Max Preps rankings in the first week and won, and Trinity wore them down with their size, with their size and their depth. The other team had quite a few talented kids, but they didn't have a lot of number twos who could come in at positions and play a few downs. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Allen, obviously you got a ton of kids. You got great depth. You got it at Trinity. You got it at Carroll. You got it at Highland Park. Even our 5A schools, Highland Park, Denton Ryan. I think that's the biggest difference I'd find.
Just a fun fact, Allen is bringing 99 players, and Hoover's bringing 98.
So Hoover does have some depth
Hoover
there.
Hoover has some depth there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were on two-a-days like in 2006.
I remember that,
That was
yes.
a great show. Yeah. I loved it. That head coach is gone, by the way. Yeah. There's a crazy story about it. Look it up on the internet.
Rush Propst?
Yep. Yeah, so yeah, just Google that. We can't get into it now.
He is coaching somewhere, though. I think he might even be coaching in another place in Alabama. I'm not positive about that, but I know he's coaching somewhere.
I think it is Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. Okay.
That's the last I heard of him. There was some more stuff that popped up, I think, this year as well. So I don't know if he's still around there. But, yeah, I mean, just looking at these games, I would just tend to take the Texas teams over these Oklahoma teams. That Tulsa Union game is intriguing, though. Allen versus Hoover, I do not know a lot about Hoover, but this is in Allen, correct?
Yes.
I think that's got to help them out. Cedar Hill, Bishop Gorman, that is the toughest game for me, as well as maybe Shreveport, Evangel Christian, and Allen.
You get a week to see Allen before that happens.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's true. I should not make my picks now. I'll just leave a
Don't
little...
Don't burn that bridge.
Yeah, yeah, a little, yeah. little cliffhanger there. So let's just kind of move on into a game I like to play off the air, but we can play it on the air. It's called the Nobody Believes in Us game. And basically, we just pick which team we think is going to say nobody believed in us the most after this week. And since it's the first week, we'll open it up to the just the season. I think there's a couple interesting options here. I like Lancaster. I think if they beat Denton Ryan, they're going to say it a lot. Despite them being number four in the area, they're number 10 in the state. But I do think they kind of have that chip. My pick, though, and kind of for the season, is going to be Arlington. They play South Grand Prairie this first game. They have 15 returner starters, including the quarterback, Kalen Day. So if they can get up on South Grand Prairie and keep it going, they're going to have a lot of quotes about nobody believed in us at the beginning of the season.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Arlington. Matt, do you have a pick right now?
Well, I've got several, and I think they have legitimate gripes, if you want to call it that. Although part of it is because we have so much depth here of teams. We're going to have some good teams, especially in 6A, that just aren't in our rankings. And one of those is Hebron. We do not mm-hmm. have Hebron ranked, and Hebron has had some tough seasons. They've played in some really tough districts too. A lot of 5-5, 6-4s, and around there. But if they make a run, they'll be able to say, "Hey, we weren't even ranked in the preseason." And I think they have some pieces to make that run. Again, playing in a tough district, they're going to have to play some tough teams. Another one that I think could be a good candidate for this is North Mesquite. North Mesquite won 10 games last year, which was like the mm-hmm. first time in school, first time in about 20 years in North Mesquite, and went three rounds in the playoffs, and they got a lot back. They got Jaquez Gooch, their quarterback, back. They got Miniweather, their running back, who was really good. They've got them back. They've got a lot of pieces, and I was a little surprised. I had them a little higher in my rankings, and so our rankings, you can blame us all.
Yeah.
It's a group effort. But they came in, I think, number 17. I think they could be really good, too, and they would certainly have a reason to say, "Hey, what's going on?"
I do like that. I do like the North Mesquite pick. I like the Gooch. The Gooch is loose again. Dylan, do you have a pick?
Honestly, I don't.
Fair enough. Fair. That's fair enough. You can play it safe. But I think there's always somebody.
Yeah.
By midseason, somebody has really shown up and has surprised us, and we have to kind of admit, yeah, we didn't see it.
All right, so kind of we're running out of time here, but what are we kind of looking forward to week one? Dylan, you're going to be at McKinney Boyd Mesquite Horn. We will be at the various games. Matt's going to the Star. I'll be at Cedar Hill Bishop Gorman. We're at Friday games. Just what is your first kind of what's kind of the main thing you're looking for here in week one?
Well, you mentioned I'm going to the Star, and that's for the Saturday quadruple header for the Frisco ISD schools. And, they're not going to be the greatest games necessarily. Those are not our heavy hitters other than Lone Star. I think Wakeland and Centennial and Frisco, they could be good teams. But what I want to see 12,000 fans in that dome mm-hmm. and see what kind of noise they can make. There are two sessions, and they're both sold out with 12,000 fans. I think that's going to be really cool. And then, Friday night, I want to see DeSoto. I'm seeing DeSoto and Jesuit because I watched DeSoto and was part of the people you can blame for last year preseason ranking DeSoto number one
mm-hmm.
Because I was so impressed by them. And then I watched them finish 6-6, although they finished very strongly. They almost beat Allen. And I want to see what DeSoto can do this year. I think they could be really, really good.
Dylan?
I really just think kind of viewing all of the out-of-state games, I think those are all very, very interesting to kind of watch. And there are a lot more maybe than there have been in the previous years, all in week one. So I think those will all be not necessarily a kind of a meter for the teams, but it'll definitely be all interesting games to kind of see.
I like it. I like it. I'm going to go with you kind of touched on this, Matt, but DeSoto and specifically their quarterback situation. They have Sean Robinson there, transferred from Denton Geyer. They also have Courtney Douglas, who not as many people know about, but through this spring, through 7-on-7, I saw him multiple times, and he looked very good. So DeSoto coach Todd Peterson said that he is going to ride one guy. he wasn't sure yet who it would be. He's probably not sure as we talk on this podcast right now. So I think that is going to be one of the more interesting storylines in week one. And for everybody here, for Dylan, for Matt, for me, we'll see you on Friday night.